Chapter 5, Amos, verse 1. Molech has to have a companion. His companion is Ishtar, or the Queen of Heaven. And so it's Melech, the right king, versus Molech. In the Hebrew, it's Moloch, M-O-L-O-C-H, but it's the way it was translated in King James, is Melech. I mean, Molech. And it's the virgin bride in contrast to the Queen of Heaven, which is a harlot, which is Ishtar, which is fertility goddess. It's she who has to have the future to have fruit, to have, she has to have plans, and he has to have plans, in order that they might have meaning to a meaningless life. They know nothing of the resurrection. The resurrection is only a theory. They're directly related to Tammuz, their child, the child of Moloch, or Molech, and Ishtar, or the Queen of Heaven, is Tammuz. And that's what most of the world worships in the name of Jesus Christ, because they need the future. They need something else to happen. They need the sun to rise. They need the next day to take place. They need the... They worship the full moon. Israel worships the new moon. They begin their day at sunrise. When the sun is shining from the east, Israel begins their day at sunset, when everything is dark. And the world of futility is the only thing you see. You see the phoniness? Molech, Ishtar, or the Queen of Heaven, their child is Tammuz, the resurrection god. Molech cannot exist alone in terms of, he can't exist. Molech cannot exist internalized. Molech must have a face. And so.
Is it your parents at first?
Can't be anybody. There has to be the significant other that upon which your worship is centered. That's the person that can cause you to fear. It's the person that can cause you to be in total depression if he doesn't accept your offerings. He's the one that, well, just look at 18 years of history of Larry and I, and you'll see the demands of Molech. Look at 10-year history of Harry and I, and you'll see the demands of Molech. Look at 20-year history of Gary and I, much more subtle, but you still see the demands of Molech. The worship is successful when Molech becomes your friend, your buddy. Everybody understand that a little bit? But it can't happen, because he will never put the face of Molech, he'll never put the person's face in which there's any possibility of that ever happening.
Say that part again.
The face that you place on Molech will be with someone for which there is no possibility of you ever succeeding in friendship with.
It's based on this.
Because it's based on this
false
god. But it's based on a construct for which there's no possibility of it happening.
Yeah. It seems like it could happen for a while, but then something will go awry.
Yeah, it could happen. Oh, yeah, you can have the image of it happening for a minute.
Yeah.
And then you're, oh, God, everything's wonderful. The world is wonderful. And only looked at me. Or, yeah.
Yeah, anybody that you put up higher, there's no way that you're not equal.
Because you placed them. And if they rise, you rise. If they go down, you go down. It's the space of sin. It's the hamartia. It's the where they, I mean, it's the same principle. But you, the difference, the distance always remains the same.
So, and so the female equivalent of this worship is the Queen of Heaven?
Well, you don't see her.
Because it feels like you're describing my trail of relationships.
Oh, sure, that's what you're looking for. But it's the same thing. But again, your office in the body is reflected in what your potential office in the real body, it's skewed. It's the flip side. And so you can't make any straight rules about this because your relationship to the Queen of Heaven is the counterfeit of your relationship to your mother.
I mean, I know this. I own this. But it isn't just a lifetime of doing it with men. It's also a lifetime of doing it with women.
Yeah. Am I communicating to anybody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there's a question looming here, which maybe you'll get to, but I forget about the men. It's like, I can see through my life where I've tried to do this here and there, and then you come along, Bible study, you're the teacher, so you become it. Is that just natural? I mean, it just has to be that way? It's high place. And it's been real strong with you with a whole lot of people.
Yeah.
So is it, it's just high place and
until it's as natural as water. It's
There's
as natural.
Else, yeah, it could happen.
I mean, if it wasn't me, it'd be somebody else. They have to have that, whoever that is.
All high places have to have it.
Well,
it can be a chief God kind of thing, right? I mean, everybody has a high place thing.
Yeah, but the trick is everybody doesn't have a Molech.
This would explain why I get so upset. Well, upset to put it mildly, why I get furious when you fail, in my estimation, to live up to what you're supposed to live up to.
Yeah, but my point is that first of all, Molech can't make it through the cross. Molech cannot ever, ever, ever understand what it means to be at rest and in contentment. Molech always demands more and more and more and more and more and more. It can never rest. So the worshiper of Molech is always and ever in a position of scrambling to find the right offering.
I guess my question now is, why couldn't we have stopped this a long time ago? You've seen it, probably.
We tried.
We've tried. Is it so strong that it just almost can't be killed or stopped, or the crosses and...
It can't be killed. That's why Christ had no form nor comeliness. There was no beauty. When you see him, you should desire him. That's why John the Baptist, what came you out to see? A reed shaking in the wind, a fine raiment and soft clothes. It's the thing that is true spirit will be always the opposite of what your Molech is. Always.
I mean, it's up to God anyway to repent or something. Just talk to somebody. You're blue in the face, and if there's no, if God doesn't do something, if there's not any response in the person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. God has to call them, and if they're not called by God, if they're called by whatever face they put Molech on, if that's their attraction, it's going to fade. Nothing will happen.
Mm-hmm. I can see how that's tricky, though, because the person who's probably going to be talking to him about it is going to be the Molech person. And so it kind of short-circuits everything.
And God did it purposefully with perfect, perfect, perfect plan, which I'll try to explain to you in a minute.
Yeah, I can see the perfection without even understanding it yet. It's It's one of his ways of hiding the gospel.
Right. It's the eyes, yeah. Because otherwise, then flesh would understand the gospel. Yes, elegant.
Because flesh would really like to.
Oh, yeah. Flesh would love the gospel.
Well, what's the essence of Moloch?
We're about to get into that. Okay, Amos 5. Are we there yet?
Yes.
Verse 1. I'm gonna say something. Remember I told you that Ezekiel is almost exclusively about high place activity, and if you don't understand high place activity, you're gonna get these wild like Mog and
yeah.
And get made, and you're gonna, it's Russia's gonna attack Israel on the 26th of February 1970 or 95, and the beast is a
or you're gonna say Ezekiel is all about
high place.
Amos is all about Moloch.
Amos, but especially Amos 5 is all about Moloch. Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100. And that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. You know what those places were?
High places.
They were the temporary settings of the tabernacle. As it moved until the house of the Lord was dedicated. They were okay for a time, but now they are forbidden because the house of the Lord is dedicated. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Now can you understand why we didn't deal with these things until the time appointed of the Father? You understand the tabernacle, when it came into the promised land, moved to this place, to Gilgal, to Beersheba, to all of to these other places. And it was fine there, in the order of things.
So he's saying don't seek after these places now, like there's still life.
Because it was it.
Because the temple is gone.
Don't go back.
You can't go back there for any reason. It's forbidden.
Yeah, it's a companion verse to what we're reading in Hebrews about the other place building, rebuilding
that which was his, which had been destroyed.
Yeah.
Can't rebuild it. Yet.
Okay.
You got it?
Yeah, I guess I don't get why it's such a bad thing. What the importance of? I guess it's go on. Don't.
Well, no. The importance is that you remember that Solomon built high places. And he wasn't wiped out or killed. Because it was fine. You remember what we said before, you couldn't cross the street without a high place?
So it was, for a time it was important.
It's important. It's important to the mystery of God.
We've said here a million times, if you hadn't worshipped Moloch, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be alive.
That's right.
You would not. You have to worship Moloch in order to be accepted into the society.
Let me say this, and again, I've said this 1,000 times, but I want everybody to hear it again. Every man that has ever lived prays 24 hours a day. His prayers are his thoughts. And he prays, not just to one, he prays to a whole bunch of different gods. But he has one chief God. And according to Hosea, that chief God is, you put his name on that chief God. And he really gets pissed over that.
He put the Lord's name on this chief guy.
That's what Yahweh does, right?
Huh?
We all do that.
Everybody does. Universally. So everybody prays 24 hours a day.
Or if we're like a Buddhist or something, we'll put Buddha's name on our...
Doesn't matter.
Wherever we are, we're supposed to be.
Everybody prays 24 hours a day. You are always and ever, you can be nothing but a temple for deity. You've never been anything else. Every man tithes. You tithe at minimum. Well, tithe is 10%, but you tithe, you at least tithe, you probably give a whole lot more in offerings to your gods. Everybody worships 24 hours a day, even in your dreams. You worship what you give importance to. And if you are giving importance to anything other than his righteousness, which is revealed in his resurrection, which is the only righteousness, because I've gone to the Father, then you are worshiping something other than Jesus Christ. I don't care if you put his name on everything. If you're not, remember what Jesus said. He said, the Spirit, when he has come, will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And if you're doing anything other than what I'm about to tell you, you're not worshiping Jesus Christ. He convicts the world of sin because they believe not on me. If anybody is judging you for any other reason, or if you are judging anybody for any other reason than that, then you are worshiping someone other than Jesus Christ. More than likely, if you are involved in Christianity or Judaism, you're worshiping Moloch. He will convict the world of righteousness, because I go to the Father. That's the only way you can get it right. That's why it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be made unto you. It will be his good pleasure to give you everything freely. But if you have any righteousness in any other point other than the fact that Jesus Christ has gone to the Father, if you seek to be right in any other place, and if you judge anybody with regard to their being in any other place, then you are worshiping by definition Moloch, if you're a Christian or Jew. That's the test of who you are worshiping. And he will convict the world of judgment, because the prince of this world has been judged. And if you judge anybody on any other basis than that, then you are worshiping Moloch and not Jesus Christ. Does everybody understand that a little bit? Can you hear me why it's so vital, so incredibly important that you hear this so that you can pass this on? Commit this doctrine to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Can everybody, can you apprehend just what I've said so far?
Yeah, I can. I just realized another reason why I get so mad at you. Because I've put your face on Moloch, which means I have decided that some deep level, I've decided that you represent or agree with or worship those attributes.
That you worship.
That I worship. So when you don't do that, or when I feel that I have executed some part of the worship service properly, and you don't do what you're supposed to do, that I could kill you.
You don't. You could not I mean, only I could kill you. Me. You do kill.
I mean, because you're not
well, nice.
I mean, I can see it. No, it's worse than that. It's.
I know, I'm just
being suspicious. I can see it. I can see it really clearly.
Does everybody understand this?
And I can also see that anything other than worshiping Jesus Christ and anything other than those three standards
Allah is.
Means you're worshiping Molech. You're worshiping the god of the age. I mean, it's
and his son, which is Tammuz, and you put the name of Jesus on Tammuz. So you're worshiping Molech, represents the father, the false father. You're worshiping, or you're in obeisance to the Queen of Heaven. You may not know it. And what you are, in truth, are giving importance to is their child, Tammuz, the resurrection god, who goes over and over and over and over. And you're, you know, if you're successful, the tells of this are so incredible. If you're successful in a plan, then you're happy. If your plan fails, then you're sad. Why? Because that's the evidence that you were worshiping Tammuz, the resurrection god, and he didn't rise. So the women are weeping for Tammuz, according to Ezekiel 8.
You leave the cookies and milk out for Santa, and you get up and he ate the cookies and drank the milk.
If you speak and someone doesn't respond the way you think they should, the New Testament calls it, then you're a man-pleaser. If that upsets you, that means you're a man-pleaser. The word man-pleaser here just means that's another evidence or tell that you're worshiping Tammuz, the resurrection god, because their response to you wasn't the way you thought it should be, or your plan didn't happen the way you thought it should, or or something else. You don't understand Scripture as well as you think you should. Any kind of thing that has should or ought to in it, any component of that is the evidence that Tammuz exists in your life. Now, some of you have a whole lot of Tammuz in your life. And every time you worship Tammuz, you say the resurrection is past and it might happen in the future. But you really don't believe it's going to happen.
Well, whether it does or it doesn't, it's necessary to worship. It's like not today.
I can see it's like there's no cure for
can't
this
fix it.
Phenomenon. No, it's too big.
Can't fix it. It's too endemic. It's the basis right. of the beast.
Yeah, it's just what we are. So it's like there's only one answer, and it's continual repentance. Understanding the cross and
repair. And it's the idea, the only way that this beast can be dealt with is to be killed. That's why you must pick up your cross. And the word, it says daily, but it means continually. Because, and and these are all just word pictures. The other word picture, you know, of the snake at Revelation 13, if you cut off the wrong head, then you just grow a new one back instantly. And even if you get the right one cut off, as Jesus did, he gives the illusion that he is risen from a deadly head wound.
You can't set the cross down.
But he has no power, you see.
No, it's just your mind talk.
This says more to me about the simplicity of Christ Jesus. I mean, this is on a very deeper level and a lot more information, but the simplicity is still the same.
It's the same basic, soul simple simplicity.
Yeah. For eternity.
Okay, everybody get a little bit of a handle so far? Anybody apprehended what we've talked thus far?
Yeah, I have to admit, I wasn't following you on sin, righteous, and judgment. I've heard that before and understood, but I wasn't listening to you say this.
Okay. Let me repeat it again, because it's real important.
Okay.
If I judge you for any, if I judge you down for any reason, then I am saying that I have a different basis of judgment than God does or than Jesus Christ does. Jesus Christ said the only basis of judgment is that the prince of the world has been judged. So shut your mouth. If I judge, if my feeling well or right comes from any other thing other than the fact that he has gone to the Father, then it's the evidence that I'm worshiping Thomas. I'm worshiping Molech and his son Thomas. His son is the...
Tommy, we like to call him.
Tommy.
It's circumstantial. Your life
Tommy
is
Rose.
Circumstantial.
Right. And so your peace, you can never be at peace. You're always in turmoil because you don't believe that the resurrection is come, the Messiah is come, and therefore you will never be able to endure chastisement because you will always think up something else, some other plan to leave the moment. Therefore, you're a bastard, not a son. And you end up doing all three because then, you know, what you do is you always blame it. You can't normally, you know, unless you've got a really sick high place, you can't blame everything on yourself. You have to blame it on somebody else. Okay?
And the sin, the first one would be what?
Well, I convict the world of sin because they believe not on me. If I convict on any other basis,
myself or anybody else,
right,
on this, anything other than this
one issue, that's the simplicity.
Then you know it's not of the Holy Spirit.
It's not of the Father, and it's not of Jesus. Well, I think you should be this way. Fuck you. I'm tired of dealing with you. Go tell it to God. As you can tell, I'm no longer in the position I was last night.
It's been worked through. I have been locked in a small room all day.
I said yay.
Doesn't mean I still don't pray for him. Doesn't mean I take part of his pain. But I can't negotiate.
Being in that boat that you were in last night of I don't know what to do, it really doesn't suit you.
Then I hate it.
Not God did.
Not gonna do.
Not God did.
I was just
when you least he likes it
too much.
I was just struck by the ludicrousness of once you know what redeemed is and what it means, to still be trying to make these stupid offerings is just...
Yeah. Okay, verse 6. Seek the Lord and ye shall live. Again, in Hebrew it says, seek only the Lord and ye shall live. Lest he break out like a fire. Lest he break out like a fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Bethel just means it's one of these places that you thought was right and safe and good and proper. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood. You turn justice to bitterness. And leave off righteousness in the earth. Leave off the only true righteousness in the earth, which is his resurrection.
When you walk away from
it. You walk away from the mystery. You walk away and you're led away. And it's as predictable is gravity. I mean, it's as easily seen as the blazing sun. As long as you're not guilty of it. If you're guilty of it, you can't see it.
I just had a thought of how sitting in this place and hearing this taught, hearing you teach, if you don't understand while this is going on, you can get pretty freaked out. You know?
And sure.
Because if you understand, it's like it's peaceful and it's wonderful and it's great. But if you don't, then you turn into something and suddenly Yeah, I have to look at you instead of what I'm hearing of the Word of God, and I know that's what he does.
That's what happens almost every time we go into something new.
Yeah.
That's why he just freaks.
Yeah, and then his eyes can only look at you and see you moving around and saying and being loud or soft, you know, and it's like, it just became real clear that's much of what he's been doing in this place. So.
Seek him that made the seven stars and Orion. Remember what the seven stars are? Oh, smart
planets.
Ass.
The planets?
The Pleiades.
What?
The
Pleiades.
Smart ass.
Seven sisters.
What?
Seven sisters.
It's the Pleiades. That's right. Seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into morning, and maketh the day with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Stop this other horse hockey. Oh. Oh. Always not nice to me.
That's verse 10.
They're all reading ahead.
That's true.
That strengtheneth the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress. That hate him that rebuketh publicly in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly.
Yeah, did we mention that this morning when we read through that thing that said to rebuke publicly before all, or is it
said rebuke before publicly all, before, you know,
like,
all?
Like, there's a reason here for this kind of stuff.
And what do you think? I just made it up? Well, then search the scriptures to see whether these things be true. Yeah, don't put your bullshit on me anymore. I'm tired of it. For as much, therefore, as your treading is upon the poor, and you take from him burdens of wheat. You want me to go in through that, what that means?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's go on. We'll never get where I want to get. We'll study that later. For as much, therefore, as your treading is upon the poor, and you take from him burdens of wheat, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink wine of them. Do you think, do you understand what that is? A little bit?
Yeah.
Something internally?
Yeah. Well, the first part is oppressing the poor and making pay tribute from his wheat. And then you build these fine, rich homes.
Or you,
figuratively
or
literally. Are
you ever building and never really getting to any place where you can reach contentment like you're talking about?
Yeah, so.
But think of it spiritually. The only vine, I mean, it's all of the labor has been for nothing internally. It's been wasted from your perspective. Because all of your labor, you will never dwell in the temple. And of all the vineyards you've planted, you'll never taste of the wine. For I know your manifold transgression and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, they take a bribe, they turn aside the poor and the gate from their right. Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Hate the evil, love the good. You understand what that means? What does it mean to hate the evil and love the good? And we got to hand
it. Flesh and spirit. It is to recognize self for what it is.
Yeah, but what is the good?
The good is Christ.
That's true, but what else is good according to all of the Torah and all of the Midrash and all of the ancient writings and all? You love the law. The law and the law incarnate are the only thing that's to ever be called good. Can you hear that? I mean, I can only speak for myself. Do you have any idea how much I love this book? How much time I spend studying it, seeking its mysteries? I mean, and then when you consider that's just a shadow of he whom we have dealings with. Establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord, saith thus, wailing shall be in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas. You know, I mean, can you imagine when God says, there are no more plans that will come to pass. There are no more hopes or dreams that will come to fruition.
There's not going to be a tomorrow.
Well, it'll be far worse, because for a while there will be the illusion of tomorrow, but there will never be hope. They'll run and hide in the mountains and the rocks of the hills instead of repenting. And while they're in those rocks and hills, hiding from the face of the Lord, and they will always be blaming someone for their misery.
It's like not being content with this present moment, you know, hoping that it would change, and when that hope is gone. It's like when that hope is gone, it's...
Okay, I'm going to do a new thing from now on. I'm going to write a letter to each of you, and in that letter, I'm going to tell you how you should be. Have I ever once told any of you how you should be except to repent? Have I ever told you what I thought you should look like? Have I ever tried to tell you what repentance looked like and what the kingdom of God looked like? God, forgive me if I ever have. I don't think I ever have. My only and singular job is to destroy the idolatry that exists within you, including Molech. To mar it. To make fun of it, to publicly deride it. What came you out to see? Please, please, please hear me, apprehend that you might share this with your people. Okay?
That's the if we don't apprehend it, we sure as hell can't share it. I mean, we can give them some words, but
there's nothing behind it.
Yeah.
Well, but you understand, you got to hear me. What I'm saying to you isn't, I'm not just reading words from a book. I'm reading something that I'm telling you through this, something that has been experienced, both the bad and the good. It isn't a theory. It isn't a philosophy. And that's what has to be in each of you.
Is this mystery transmitted from you to us because we've heard it? And
faith cometh by hearing.
Hearing by the word.
Rima of God.
So there's nothing now that we have to do to get the experience so that we can pass it on.
Except to hear.
All we have to do is hear.
Right. And if you don't hear, you don't struggle with it, you repent.
Yeah.
You never again have to have any reason to be out of the rest. If there's something that you don't understand, you don't struggle and scream and yell and search. You say, you search to see, but if you still understand, then you say, Father, forgive me. For not seeing, for not hearing. I mean, I can go through all the scriptures of why you don't hear if you want me to, but I don't think you want me to.
It's just more of nothing to do.
That's right.
More of nothing to do.
More of nothing to do.
Piles of nothing to do.
More of nothing to do, and more of everything is right. And more of...
Yeah, if you're not in the place of doing that, then when you can't hear this stuff, because you'd be listening with ears waiting for the next move to make. You know, I could just feel it in me a minute ago. It's like, wait a minute. I'm hearing this stuff, okay, but now I got to go do something, get an experience, so I'll have an experience that I can then pass on. But it, you know, I saw quickly that's not it. You hear it, or you don't. You hear it, you can give it away.
Amen. If you hear it, then you'll see it. And to see it means you've seen Jesus.
See Him, and then you can't do anything but speak it.
Amen. Therefore, the Lord, the God of hosts, Therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord, saith thus. 16. I just read it, but I'm reading again. Wailing shall be in all the streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, alas. And they shall call the husbandman to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing.
Come wail with me.
Come
wail with me. We have lamented and you have not mourned.
And in all vineyards shall be wailing. For I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Now listen to this one, with all that as the predicate. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what and why? If you don't see that today is the day of the Lord, then you're desiring the day of the Lord. And for your definition, the day of the Lord has to meet your definition of it. And so if you're desiring the day of the Lord, that means you have not believed in the resurrection. Is that clear? So if you're thinking that something today needs to be different, then you're desiring the day of the Lord. You're not going to use those words. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light.
You read this the first night I came to Bible study.
As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. Or he went into the house to rest and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark with no brightness in it? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? If you don't see that today is the day of the Lord, then you are not believing in the right Jesus. You believe in another gospel. And if you can say that today is the day of the Lord, and in that minute think that something's wrong, you are without hope. Because you have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And that's the unforgivable sin. And I've never said that before.
It's just saying that the Holy Spirit has done this and it's wrong.
Yeah, but there's always hope as long. But if you confess that it's the day of the Lord, and in that day of the Lord,
it's wrong.
So like, is this all there is?
Then you blaspheme the Holy Spirit.
So it's the Holy Spirit.
Because you'll never see that, and so you'll never believe, so you're never gone.
Does everybody understand that?
I was looking up words earlier, and I looked up railing, the railing accusation, and railing was blasphemo or something like
blasphemo.
That.
Blasphemo. Blasphemous accusations.
Yeah, and blasphemous was to vilify or to make a villain out of. And so I got caught in the middle of your sentence with.
Okay. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, with no brightness in it? In other words, it's never going to look like you think it should. But if you confess that it's the day of the Lord, and in that day of the Lord that you have confessed it is the day of the Lord, you think something is wrong, then you have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. That's unforgivable.
Because things aren't like they're supposed to be.
Right. And that's the danger.
That's placing yourself above.
Huh?
I mean, that's really placing yourself above God.
That's right.
God has done this, and it's wrong. I judge God down.
Okay. I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. What does it mean when God smells?
Sweet savor rejects the
offering. Yeah, it's probably he rejects sweet savor the offering.
He doesn't appreciate, he doesn't accept.
It's not pleasurable.
It has no pleasure, there's no... So, if we do anything in these feast days and in these offsetting the offerings except see Jesus, then it's abomination. You see that? If we love, I just love the feasts.
Because they satisfy my whole life.
But you show up, not with despising them, really.
It's big.
I don't want to be here.
Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offering of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your viols. But let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Remember in the New Testament it talks about, judge with righteous judgment? I've had fun with that one over the years. I'm not judging you, brother. I'm just inspecting the fruit. Where in God's name did that asinine cliche come from?
Dobbs and Harris.
Early charismatic
movement.
Rex Humbug.
I'm judging with righteous judgment.
Sure.
Where'd you get that? Well, because my word, what I'm saying is in alignment with the scriptures.
I'm confessing according to.
The only singular way that you can judge with righteous judgment is to judge with the righteous judgment that has already been judged. namely that the prince of the world has already been judged and he has gone to the Father. What else is there? Oh no, but I'm righteous and I am judging you. Let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Let that revelation of his righteousness that, and let that judgment of its finish explode all over our lives. And let us exhort one another, rebuke one another publicly if we are not in that position. Because if you're not in that position, you're worshiping Molech. And you've put somebody else's face on that Molech God. Have you offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? I love this next one. You're not going to believe what this next one says. But you have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Sheon, your images, the star of your gods, which you made to yourselves. In other words, he's just said, you haven't offered me Jack. You've offered it. You know what it says? There's a trick here. So it's 10,000 times worse than what even it says it says when you go to the original Hebrew. It says you have borne the tabernacle, the Sukkoth, of your king, but it uses a word that's S-H-I-K-K-U-Z, they do this Hebrew trick which makes the tabernacle and the word abhorrence mean the same thing. Mm-hmm. You can't even understand it. We can't do that in English language. But with the Hebrew and the vowel points, they can make a word and they can say that it means, in this case, your Molech, which is also means your king, which also means your abhorrence. You understand that?
Sort of,
kind of? All right. And then it says, you have borne the tabernacle of your Molech, your king, your abhorrence, your stupidity, your idiocy, your whatever thing you want to talk about it. That's what you've borne around. You haven't been offering me anything. You've been praying to your Molech. You've been offering offerings to your Molech. You've been doing everything to your Molech. And you have just, you know, maybe every once in a while acknowledge that I might exist. In other words, you haven't.
It wasn't even like a gold crown. It was like a piece of shit.
Right. And not only that, you haven't been doing what you thought you've been doing for the last 40 years. Or 20 years. Or however many years that you've been supposedly following God. You've simply been, instead of being the tabernacle for the true king, you have been the tabernacle for Moloch.
You know who that Cheyenne is?
Yeah, we're about to get there.
Cheyenne.
Cheyenne, they put a capital letter on it, shouldn't be. It's a cake. It's a cultic cake. It was the, in other words, it was the offering.
So he's saying that was what?
Oh, is that the you make cakes to the Queen of Heaven?
Right.
Yeah.
It's the cultic cake to Ishtar, to the Queen of Heaven. Yeah. And she's the queen of your images. The star of your God. And the cakes all have this unique marking on them. That's why these guys get so upset at the Catholic Church, because the wafers have that marking on them.
So that was they had made the tabernacle into a tabernacle for Molech, and their offerings were...
They invented them and put their unique marking on it, and they offered them. And when nobody doesn't accept them, they get all pissed off.
Who got pissed off? Israel?
you.
If you're Molech, if the person that you have the picture of, you place Molech on his face, then the offerings that you have baked,
they got my own little marking.
You've got your unique marking on them, and the ones that you make an offering for, and it's called your images, the star of your God, small g, which you made to yourselves, they won't accept them. And because they won't accept them,
who's they? I'm this word.
The they is the Molech figure. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. What's beyond Damascus?
Babylon.
You must be sent into captivity to Babylon. Does everybody understand Molech a little better after Amos 5?
He's like, you know, when I said pledge his essence, he can't even say that because his essence is whatever any individual mark is.
Yeah, and each person's Molech. Remember when we studied this? The molten images, Molech is molten. And Molech is made up of, remember it had the bull head, and it was the body of a man, but the head of a bull? That, you know, and I always taught that that meant that, well, it's the God of the universe, and I mean, the God of the age, and it was the, you know, it was the age of Taurus. Well, that was all true, but the reason it was true was for us was so that we could see that you had to have a something on your Molech that you could understand and appreciate. And then it struck me that just from experience that I've seen it 1,000 times that you have to put somebody's face on your Molech.
Yeah.
Now the reason you have to do this is interesting. Your Molech, you built your Molech out of a frame, and then all your life you've been globbing stuff onto it. I mean, it is more ugly than the worst monster that you have ever seen in the worst horror movie. That's why there is an attraction which seems idiotic to me. Why anybody want to go see a horror movie and get scared? Why do you want to do that? The reason is because it's the spirit trying to long to for that image, that Molech, to be exposed. That's the reason you like slasher movies and horror movies, and
because the bad guys in the end usually get, you know,
well, no, yeah, plus the fact it's the Holy Spirit trying to draw you so that you can see what this being within you looks like. And you've created it.
Yeah, it's always irritated me that I couldn't get any, why can't we figure out what this Molech is? It's because it's individualized, and I never saw
that. Yeah, because you've borne the tabernacle of your Molech.
Mm-hmm.
So you had 3 million, 4 million people wandering around the desert, each one preparing their own tabernacle, mm-hmm. rather than the tabernacle of the Lord, as one people and tribe. You know, of all the things, I don't know why, but of all the things you said tonight, the thing that like put the light on and is reverberating and I'm going to walk out of this room hearing is the thing about of sin because they believe not on me. And you said, if you are judging anyone or relating to anyone or seeing anyone on the basis other than believing on him, you're worshiping Molech. And I mean, I can see that. Because I don't look at people and even think about whether or not they believe. I look at people and I say, are they dressed the way they're supposed to be dressed? Are they acting the way they're supposed to? Are they giving me what they're supposed to give me? It's all these things that has nothing to do with whether they believe or not.
That's why it says, I am determined to know nothing among you after the flesh, save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Because anything else is worshiping Molech. I mean, I can really see that.
This is critical. We apprehend this.
It's wild to go back through my life and see the different faces I put on the Molech. The ones that disappointed me, so I had to lay find another one. The girls that I tried to worship as
queen. Green of heaven.
Yeah. Never worked.
It's all sources of light, right?
Well, it's a little more complicated. It's to try to have the kid. You want to have Tammuz. The only reason you don't worship Molech on the Queen of Heaven for any, you know, just because they're sort of there, you worship them because you think that they will give you life by having the right child, the right fruit, the right offspring.
And you'll even sacrifice your earthly children to get it, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the offspring of that relationship will be fruitful.
Was there like an actual mythological connection between Molech and Ishtar, or is this a...
No, it's talked about a great deal.
I knew there was Baal. And,
yeah, you know. But there's it's this relationship is between... Well, this particular thing came from... I don't even know if I have the book anymore. A long, long time ago. It showed how the previous interpretations, because of archaeological discoveries, had been wrong about who and what Molech was. Huh. And this was long before. This is 20 years ago. This was before. This is 2 or 3 years after I became a believer that I studied this. So I can probably dig it up. Let me see what I can find.
Barbara's got a book someplace that's got a woodcut in it that shows it's a look. It's a view across Jerusalem, and you can see the rooftops of the houses. And what the text talks about is how, at this time in apostate Israel, each family had its house, and on the roof of the house they had their high place where they would worship, and they would bake cakes to offer to the Queen of Heaven, and they pass their children through the fire of Molech. And it's like that combination of passing the children through the fire and baking the cakes and worship and the drink offering and the whole deal on the roof of each house.
There was the archaeological discovery was the direct tie in the names between Molech and Ishtar, or the correspondent. Let me see if I can dig that up. There's a whole lot of other stuff we could try to study, but I think that's enough to apprehend.
When did we study this before? You were like left on a trip or something. You studied this before going somewhere. In the summer?
Yeah, this just was, this was just in early September. I just started talking about it a little bit then.
I don't know what. I'm just thinking of it. I think it says you make your children to pass through the fire unto Molech. It seems like it could be just as easily you make the children pass through the fire to your Molech.
You know what? You know what to pass through the fire means?
Mold them in your image or mold them to the image of whatever your God is.
You put them to the test in the fire of your Molech, and if they don't, I mean...
Acceptance or something.
Okay. If they don't meet Molech,
what is it, Oli? What does it mean?
Put them in the fire to test them.
The ancient rabbis believed that it was to have your seed influenced by paganism. Hmm. That's what their interpretation of that was. The law. You tested whether it was paganism by whether it was common. The idea was common
to among the pagans.
If your seed is influenced by paganism, is passing through fire.
I mean.
So it's the things of the world that you have bought into that you want your children to.
Yeah, but it's also your seed. It means that also. But here, the word Lord what it really means, your seed is Jesus Christ, and you've made yeah. Jesus Christ to pass through the fires of all life. You understand me?
Yeah.
God, can we get it once and for all that God doesn't care about little hunks of protoplasm anymore? He doesn't want any more. He cares about his bride. He cares about his seed for which he's wiped out nations and children. And it's that you pass your seed, and who is your seed? It's Jesus Christ. Through the fires of Moloch, you make him to be a companion with the values of the world.
Yeah, it's like that causing, constraining men to be circumcised so that you don't have to
suffer persecution.
Suffer persecution for the cross. You want to.
But I want you to dwell on this, what it means. I mean, it also means passing your seed, because your children are the seed of
you're
Christ also.
Same thing to them too, yeah.
But the true gut-wrenching meaning that will cause you to go crazy unless there's repentance is that you've passed Jesus Christ, you, through the fires. You would, mm-hmm. you.
Yeah, it's like you jump through whatever, the, you know, taking him with you, whatever.
Well, it's the fire. That's the ancient rabbi said it's figurative. The fire is any kind of paganism, which purpose is to test the seed.
Yeah.
It's like burn away the chaff, but it's not to burn the seed.
It's like a pregnant mother is using crack.
Well, I don't know that. I just want you to see if this can be apprehended internally, not intellectually. If this doesn't put the fear of God instead of the fear of man.
Yeah, this thing about fear, for us to pretend that fear is not a part of what is going on is ridiculous, because, I mean, fear is part of it. I mean, if you don't fear God, you know, the talk, when it talked about Ananias and Sapphira, it says great fear, you know, came upon the church, and I don't think they meant that was a bad thing, you know.
Yeah, it's like you're going to be fearing something. Either going to be fearing God or just yeah. fearing everything else. Just probably all the emotions, you know, related somehow to how they're played for worship or for something else.
Now I just want to go off the road, take a big guy.